room occupancy tax, and they really are the same opinion we are, that we can do a better job spending the money for advertisement, and we would like to set it up, and this is for y'all, where the towns with less than 10,000 population can do what they want to do with the last of the money. And Wilmington and Hanover County can keep it as is, but we would like to be able to spend the money as we want to.
Hey, you're talking about the second 3%.
Yes, the second 3%.
Yeah, so specifically what we're talking about is it's required to be in marketing right now by the towns. We would like the flexibility to use that for sand. I think we've talked about this before. I know we'll be working. I think for the rest of the representatives, when it was set up, the marketers of that are involved in those type of things wanted some of that money, since it was being taken from people coming down to visit to market to increase the business. And so whatever lobbyist that is, the hotelist or whoever that lobbied you guys, as you wrote the law, you basically locked that money in and the towns don't have any flexibility with it. As money for sand is getting more and more tight, I think the towns feel, at least Curie Beach does, and I'll let Carolina Beach and Wrightsville Beach talk for themselves, feel that the flexibility to assign that money to sand would be better use of the money. Speaking with our hotelers and hoteliers, or however you say that word, right? And our restaurants, they both feel the same as well. They feel that while they get a minimal amount of value for that, having a beach is more important than us advertising an item. And so I think you wouldn't get pushback from us. We recognize there's a big lobbyist on the other side of that group that you guys have to deal with, and that's why kind of our recommendation is to limit it. It's very similar to what Charlotte did the year before, I think. So I think it's not like uncharted territory up in Raleigh, but I'm sure there's always some wiggles that you guys have to deal with, but that's what we're proposing to do.
Yeah, and you guys did sign an interlocal agreement that could put you up to 17.5% on beach commercial. This will be a way for you to be able to cover that without having to raise the property, raise taxes on interlocal agreement.
Curie Beach is unique in the fact that the ad valorem tax, pretty much has to cover everything that we do. And we don't have really that many hotels and motels. However, we keep going up year after year. But talking to the hotel owners and the business owners, we really can't stand any more people down here during the season. It's the shoulder season that we need to work on. Man.
Well, our council has had a chance to discuss that as a group. We've had some loose discussion. We've also talked with some of the businesses. And I think, generally we're looking for some flexibility as well. We haven't had a chance to discuss the specifics, but I know Steve might want to make a couple of statements.
I think in talking to you today before, our flexibility would be on the second 3% general flexibility. We use some for marketing and some for event promotions to create activities the kid has on beds. And I think rather than taking it all out of marketing or all out of the activity, we're just suggesting to our state legislators, we'd like some flexibility on that second 3%. Our budget is a little different than Curie Beach's, so we don't want to impose on them, they don't want to impose on us. We just kind of want general some flexibility. We want to work with Kim and her folks and make sure we get the best bang we can. But we at Carolina Beach are the first ones out of the 15 cycle program, so we're going to have to be looking at collecting some money, and that has us scratching our heads and trying to generate revenue.
Steve, so what you're saying is, Dave, on that money, you want to have the flexibility to use it for marketing or for sand or beach promotion or anything else?
Or the general activities. We do a lot with our Thursday night events, as everyone knows. We have the fireworks and the bands, and we use some of that to draw people down. So I think our marketing and advertising committee and council wants the flexibility to give you that out somewhere, whether it's Carolina Beach is a third, a third, a third, or whether it's 20% out of this and 20%. We're not quite sure yet. We need to look at that and what our revenue impacts are to get our 17.5%. And of course, we're also being burdened at the end, which is a separate section of our budget, not this part of the budget. So we're having some
budget pressures.
And we think some flexibility in that second 3% is a local bill. We're going to be looking for support, and I think that's what we have to focus on for the region. We support Dean's. We just don't want Dean telling us how to spend the healing.
And I think Ted from Tree Beach has said, the flexibility we're looking for is for sand. If you make it more flexible, fine with Tree Beach. We recognize that the more you up it up, the more pushback you're going to get in Raleigh. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I don't think we would do anything other than sand. It's just,
right.
I'm not sure we want to take it all out of our marketing dollars.
That's why we held it to towns with 10,000 or less. Bill, what do you think about it?
We haven't discussed it formally as a board, just new, but our sense is that we would like to put, I think we all, mainly because the needs have changed year to year. It's a little bit of a moving target, so I think it makes sense.
Well, with our advertising, the marketing committee does, there's a lot of advertising for the aquarium. There's a lot of advertising for Port Fisher, but they don't get money on our beaches, so we need to.
Also, when that legislation was put in place, it was put in place for a good reason. It served a good purpose. But we had federal funding for beach and urchin, and we had funding for inlet dredging, and we worked down with these insurance issues, and a lot of things, the dynamics have changed for all of us, and we need to be a little bit more creative, I think, with the use of those funds. And like Steve was talking about, we're not looking to spend on anything, but we would like to add sand to the mix of things we can spend it on in some percentage that's determined by the government.
Well, losing federal funding is it's a double hit because the state has always said that there was no obligation to provide any state funds for beaches unless there were federal funds coming in. So we have more than just federal funds to try to make up. And the truth is, we don't have any tourists to bring down here unless we have our beaches in there. And that's just a fact. Carolina Beach is a great little town. But without the beach, without the sand there, we're nothing but a suburb of Bloomington, and that's not what we're willing to be.
I was going to say that. So without some support, the budget map is difficult to close. What I would mean is you have these small communities who have a few $1 million in that budget. 60% of that goes to staff for services. Then you've got things set aside for stormwater and for other things that we have set aside for. So what we really need is that little bit of flexibility, additional flexibility, to help us with the revenue that we do generate without having so much of that earmark tying our hands. That's really my point of how that includes.
Well, and just to add up to not just in front of Dean's agenda here, but we have enough other issues that are sort of underlying all this tourism, that the flexibility is just one of many things that we're going to have to, that we need to sort of help us keep it open.
Okay. I know it's a moving target, but what kind of money do you think we're talking about? As Carolina Beach, White Beach, Tree Beach, all be different. I'm just, in my mind, just going to go.
It's in the 300 plus range, I would say, 3% of Carolina Beach.
About 170 at Tree Beach a year.
What'd you say?
About 170 or 140? Yeah, between 140 and 170.
And would y'all put that money aside so that it would be available when your reimbursement projects come in? You'd have to do your match?
I'm not sure what the mechanics of it will be, but we only do renourishment right now or every periodically in 3 years. We have to figure out what to do with it, whether to set aside. I'm sure it would have to be set aside if you're going to a portion of it, I should say. Because we still need to do advertisements and other things we have to do that we're currently doing with that second half of that 3%. So we need to work through the details like everybody else does.
And I don't think we're saying we're not going to advertise. We're saying we need flexibility. And I'm in the hotel business, and I want people to come to Carolina Beach. But, the issue is that we have a different need than some of the other communities have because we are on the beach, and we have to have sand. And now we're taxed to try to find out where we're going to get that money from.
Let me bring up another issue. We've got an MOA, 5-year MOA, where the state will split the inlet maintenance with local communities. And New Hampshire County, we don't have a formula, who pays for what. But right now, the county pays for part of it, but the local towns also pay for part of it. This could also be a resource for that, and that might be something we want to play out in this.
That's the other part of the equation for us. It's not as much money as the beaches when we have a renourishment project, but it's crucial. We absolutely have to have that inlet open. And I, for one, would like to see the price of that spread out, just like I'd like to see the price for renourishment spread out more than just by the towns. That's not necessarily going to happen. We bear the brunt of it, but the property owners here and the taxpayers here can't. We cannot come up with enough money for the inlet maintenance and the beach renourishment. And people do look at us and say, well, it's the Carolina Beach Inlet, so it must be yours to maintain.
You changed the name of it.
We did.
Well, Steve's looking for the
Rick, we're looking at like Catholic Engineering corporate sponsorships.
We're very, very appreciative of the money that we're talking about for the inlets. But frankly, that's about half of what we need annually for our inlet. I mean, not just with our half in there. We really need about $1 million a year to maintain Carolina Beach Inlet. But the biggest thing we're concerned right now is that in addition to the five little inlets that are involved, the area at Bonner Bridge has been brought into it. And they could use up all of the money in just one swoop. And we'd like to do whatever we could to keep that for the shallow draft inlets and let them get their money from somewhere else.
More so than that is what we're doing. I've tried as far as I could to get 75% instead of 25% money. And I was told that they're lucky to get 50% instead of coming up with 50%. I was also told that if Oregon Hill was a part of that formula, you could spend it all.
That's right.
Well, we had a Portsmouth Waterway meeting, and Dean and Daryl and I, we came up with some placeholder amounts that are in line with what the previous commitments were from the municipalities. We've asked the municipalities to put a placeholder in their budgets to the town manager.
How's that looking?
But we're asking the county for 75%. But they are looking for a dedicated stream. So the primary focus, at least the discussions we've been having, have been revolving around the sand fund. And Carolina Beach is not full like Erie Beach, so we have plenty of room during the summer and the shoulder season, and we think marketing is a good thing. We spend a lot of money on advertising and on activity and events, so it's just going to be a blend is what we're seeking. And I don't think, we're not talking all of it, half of it. We've got to look at some numbers. We just need that flexibility from you guys.
One thing, too, if I may. One thing I've learned since being involved is that the coastal area is the minority. You've got Piedmont and you've got the mountains. They don't really, our concerns about immigration and beachfronts is not exactly their major concerns. And I think education is something that needs to be done because they need, unless they're in a budget, they don't care. You know, unless they're in a beach costume, you know. But the Carolina Beach Dental Association has done an excellent job. They came 2 years ago and did a presentation on that, and they're really a handful of people. Last year they did, and it was so interesting. And a lot of people that were there commented that they learned a lot from that presentation. So I think the more we can educate those other representatives and senators about our area and the importance of it for those that live on it.
Well, and to follow up to that, Ted, the Inlet Association just came to Curie Beach and Carolina Beach for a nominal contribution, but they raised the money, and through the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce, they're underwriting a economic impact analysis on some existing data to repackage so they can update their presentation this year to the legislators that will show the economic impact at the inlet. But they've also been formulating with Dr. Dumas out of UNCW a year-long economic impact analysis for the inlet, and there was the discussion about maybe including that beach impact to that so that we would have current data to show what the dollar spent generated and multiplier for the county and for the state.
So we're kind of looking at that, and that's one thing that we may be coming back to a couple of different groups and looking for some contributions, because that full economic impact was a little more expensive than what the Inland Association or Curie Beach and Carolina Beach could handle. But we agree, we think we need to educate the state, not necessarily our elected officials, but the state, on what those economic impacts are of beach nourishment and of the inland. So we're working on that. We appreciated Curie Beach's contribution to that. And Gerald was understanding when we had our meeting at Sports and Waterway and said, you know, if they'll look at it's a reasonable thing to participate in countywide inlets or, you know, it's always something we can discuss. So.
There is one other factor with beach nourishment. I mean, the flexibility is great, but at this point, the state, if you had to fund it locally, the state only matches federal funds. So that's another thing that I think we need to look at. The state would need to kick in and match local funds. I don't think there's anything more important than local funds. I mean, federal funds are great, but I think, you know, when you've got local funds involved, I think the state really needs to be able to kick in and match that project.
And also, too, speaking of Oregon and the state matching the MOA, we found out Friday when we renewed under that, that's limited to $2 million a year. So it's not unforeseeable that Carolina Beach might need to do some inlet dredging, which they didn't have to pay more than 0.5% if part of that pool is exhausted at some point in time on the state matching side.
Well, one good thing, too, is that the Coastal Caucus had a resurface that they had before and fell through crack. I didn't, even though they had one before, because one thing that I said I wanted to do when I come up there, and yeah, I was told, well, we used to have it, but you know, it's no longer done, so we revived it. And so that's good, because if we can keep everybody in the beach communities, the legislators and together, you know, if you have a bag, if you do it as a group. So at least it's not us down there by ourselves. You know, we can get them as far as our presentation on the legislature. So I don't know how strong it is in the Senate column, I know in the House. We meet at 7:30 in the morning, but we do discuss beach issues. So that's
cool. Well, we realize that it's always been 100% hands off when it comes to SAN on these funds. And when our predecessors came together and helped, you know, accept and form this legislation, it was a whole different ballgame. And so I think it's legitimate that we all come back to the same place, come back together and decide where we are in the scheme of things right now and what works best in today's world.
One thing we look at when we do this legislation is right now there's a limitation that on the sand part of it, it can only be used for something for beach nourishment. It can't be used for animal maintenance, can't be used for anything else. And so that person, we need to think about that.
Rick, there's some question about in dredging the inlet if the sand can be put on the beach.
Yes, that's correct.
That would use
it. It's part of the beach of dredging. Corps of Engineers doesn't call it that.
It can be if your beach dredging project and your dredging project periodically.
The reality is, Rick, as you know, that the contributions coming from Carolina Beach, Bristol Beach, and Curie Beach are not as detrimental to our budgets. I mean, it's dollars, but you know, it's $5,000 to $15,000 per municipality. When you're talking beach nourishment, we're into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I think if you're stuck with just the sand, to start with on the nourishment, you know, I think we're going to be appreciative of that.
And I wasn't suggesting, Rick, that we use that money for inland dredging. That's just another part of the piece of the pie that we're having to do locally. So if we end up having to put more money over there, it's just another burden on us in addition to the sand for the beaches.
It's part
of what we have to deal with.
Touch on what you were saying. I know one of the few win-win situations I ever had as a commissioner was when figure eight needed the sand. You know, Mason's Inlet needed dredged. So we worked it out, and Mason's Inlet was dredged and took the sand and put it on figure eight. Figure eight paid the sand, which helped us with the cost of the dredging, and everybody dropped. I know that's hard to do.
Well, it wasn't allowed before, apparently, because it was two different federal programs, but now that's been adjusted, I think it's great. It's going to be great when we can do it, assuming all that Carol makes it requirement.
Several trips to Washington try to get that through their head. It's the same saying on it.
And there's another thing that the workforce and beaches commission has been talking about that I think all of our councils need to take a look at, and that is the possibility of doing beach renourishment every 4 years instead of every 3 years. I don't particularly like that, but if that would save us a tremendous amount of money, and we really need to look at the economics on it, but that is something they're discussing going to the bill.
Well, one thing too, a caveat, because we ran into this across the beach on some proposed legislation, and that is if you have sand that's put on your beach as a result of state beach reimbursement, you're just going to stay from it. So that's something to be careful about. You might not get into local legislation on these beaches.
Moving on. So before we close that one, what do the legislatures need from the towns to move on this? Do you guys have enough information? Do you need more information from us? Because, you know, we want to make sure you understand fully so you can move forward. And then if you need help, reach back to us. So we're saying we're handing this to you guys now. Tell us what you need from us. That's what we're saying.
I've got premature Alzheimer's, so I'm going to
get it. That's why we're asking what you need, right?
But documentation.
How do we get this done? How do
we
get it done?
Yeah, we'll how long can we start the session?
It won't be short session.
That's fine. What do we need? What do you need from us so we don't lose momentum?
I'd like written documentation.
Why don't we circulate okay. Three beaches out right. Some kind of memorandum?
Put a resolution.
Oh, you want a resolution?
Resolution.
That we can live with, and then we'll send it up to
okay.
Ted.
That's what I'm asking, right? So right now, it's still in the town's hands.
Right. Well, I assume a resolution between the beach towns would be the first place to start.
We can start the resolution. I'll start it.
Let's do that.
Okay. So we still own it.
Let's get something down between us on a resolution, make sure we're all comfortable with it, so that we're all in support.
Try to take a lead on drafting a proposed bill to take to them so we have it the way that we want it, or there's just a resolution that says this is what we need, but actually try to get into the meat of it as much as we can so that when we get to sit down with appropriations, we've got it pretty much in place.
Well, any proposed bill you gave to me, I'm sure Susie would do the same. I would take it to Bill Grafton and let them look at it and make sure the language is correct. I'm not doing anything.
Let us come up with some draft language. We'll get it to you guys before we adopt it, just to see, Senator, if it works in concept with everybody. Let us have maybe the town manager start working together with Dean, draft something. I think that management has a pretty good idea what it's going to require, verbiage wise.
I think we can definitely keep a local bill.
Right.
We need a local bill. Too late. One, we don't want to get the cart before the horse, but at least that will give us some idea of what you want in the legislation. And Rick is correct in the fact that if we have a local bill and the whole delegation, Tom in the Senate and the three of us in the House are behind it, then it's very unlikely that it would be the case because we get right forward. And that's strategically something we need to think about.
And one thing, I mean, I think we're all very clear on, because we're talking about the second 3%. We're not looking, I mean, we have a fourth municipality in our county, and we're not looking to upset their apple cart. We understand the technical. We understand how the legislation's written. Okay, we're trying to be cooperative and strategic. So I think you'll see something coming from us that deals with the second 3%, so that we're hoping we can have the support of the entire legislative group.
And Ted, is there a deadline on submitting local bills?
2 days after session starts.
2 days after session starts. May 16th would be the deadline. We need to be ready to roll.
Yeah, that's what we're asking. I don't want it to just die. So
you just get the first
and you don't have to wait for the short time. You just have to do
So we all have to agree.
Yeah.
We all have to sign off that we all agree.
And you need that when?
That's what I was going to ask. When do you need information from the town so we know our deadline?
ASAP.
Okay. By our February meetings. Potentially, right?
We get into session on May the 14th.
Okay.
That's the first time we can introduce legislation.
But you need it before May the 14th, right? How much before? You need
6 weeks.
Tomorrow.
I'm going to lease something as local legislation, I'm doing it next week.
Okay, good.
Lease it for building. But I conferred with Susan, Rick, and Tom to make sure that they were letting go of it.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same page. We probably need to get with Daryl and the Ports and Waterway and kind of understand what is going to work, because we don't want to blind sign the county either. And get a couple of drafts going. I'd like to circulate, personally, I think it would be who us to circulate as our elected officials to make sure that there's no glaring roadblock in there that they would be able to support.
And so if we acted at our February meetings, the last one of us is the third Tuesday of February, and we got to tell you the day after that, because we'll be waiting on whoever the last one is, which I think might be Terry Beach, actually. Would that be soon enough for the legislative? Okay.
Let me make a suggestion, too. In order to move along at that pace, rather than dropping in the town manager's lap, then council having to work with it, why don't we ask our three Ports and Waterway Beach representatives, not Ports and Waterway group, as a group, but just our representatives, to kind of get something together to give to the managers as a starting point. And maybe we'll get there a little bit.
If you can get there, that's really simple. I can do it.
Give me the money.
Right, just have them lay out the parameters.
Another thing, too, that I remember, the short session is normally that's why I think you put the legislation where everybody's for it, it'll just be much easier. Because if this is going to be something to do statewide, it's going to be controversial. And it ain't going to happen. See, it's another strategic thing.
Have y'all talked to the county and the city?
We've not talked to the city. They know what's happening. I mean, we have not had direct discussions with everybody, but everyone knows that it's out there.
I think you're going to need to do that.
I think we will.
I think you're going to need to bring them too.
Yeah.
One question. You talked about the whole second 3%.
No, second half is
no,
the
second
half.
No,
the half of
no.
The
3%. The half of the 3% is
no.
Locked
in
marketing.
No, we're talking about the second 3%. At least the five of us have been talking about some flexibility on the second 3%.
On the whole second 3%.
We're willing. The way we understand it, Rick, is the second 3% is broken into two parts.
Right.
Marketing and defense. And we're saying we don't want to take all of our money out of marketing, and we may not want to take it all out of events. We're saying if you're going to give local municipalities the flexibility, let us decide with the 3%, as long as we make the three buckets, marketing, events, and potentially sand. We're only asking you to allow us to move some of our monies to sand. If Terry Beach wants to take all theirs out of marketing, that's their business. If Riceville says they don't want to do anything, that's their business. We don't want to be hamstrung by this agreement any more than we are currently, which says it's half this and half that. We're saying just give us a little flexibility. We may not need as much as other people. So,
is the first half of that events, I thought it was for the cost of supporting. So we use it for life bars. I don't think it's
doesn't.
Sense.
That's.
Yeah, it's not events. It says to support the cost of.
It's typically categorized as activities, and that can be either events that you have or people you that you use.
Like ours is a blend of lifeguards, contributions okay. for fireworks, but we have a bucket that is just advertising. We have a bucket that is a variety
right.
of things that create heads on beds.
Right.
Well, actually, there's two. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I thought that half of that money just went to the travel and tourism's budget. They usually pay well and everything else.
No,
yes.
The first.
And then the next part is half marketing and half to the
that's
town.
Right, that's right.
So they get two
half of it goes to travel and tourism.
Kim's here from TDA. You want to say something?
Well, the way it's split, the 50-50 split, like Rick is saying, is that when you get into the second 3%, 50% of it is marketing and promotion that has to be approved by the beach towns. Even though we do monitor those budgets, it's not our budget. We have to have approval of all plans by the beach towns where we can spend. But those dollars are designated to marketing and promotion. The second half of that, second 3%, the 50%, is tourism-related activities. And
so
as long as
it's
a lot of, what he said, I think all three of the beaches currently use it for lifeguards. You know, and you already have the flexibility with that 50% to use the beach reimbursement.
That's
because there's no, you know, you can use part of that already. So it's really that first three, the first half of that 73%, which is the marketing and promotion that you're talking about.
That was
the other, you already have the flexibility. You can spend that as long as it directly ties into a tourism-related activity, which beach renourishment has been identified as. You can already ask for approval of those funds through the TDA. Right. That's the process.
And Kim, what we're saying is it's for... We're looking at some of those marketing dollars.
Right, yeah, and you're looking at the market, that's what I'm saying.
Which
you're
is the first, what Carolina Beach is saying is, it's 3%.
Right.
Some of it we use here, some of it we use there. We're saying we'd like to add sand to the mix. And somewhere in that 3%, we want some flexibility.
You're looking at the whole 3%.
We're looking at the flexibility within the 3%. If you, you know.
The sand's already in that half, though. That's what you just said.
Yeah.
No. You could use it for sand right now.
It's the other reason that I see you're talking about the marketing promotion side. You want flexibility in that.
Okay.
Question is, do we want to be bound by the first 50% being locked in and can only be used? Can we move those percentages around?
That's what you're saying.
Right now, you're real. Okay, so we understand the town's on it, and you guys have given us the deadline. I think we could probably move on to these next topics.
That is important whether we're looking to have the 3% or the whole 3% flexibility.
I agree.
That's a big deal.
And we'll hash it out without, not in front of you guys, so we can smack each other around a little bit.
The bigger waters flood insurance. Andy, could you read that article that you just got out of paper this morning?
Water the house and other people with flood insurance policies. They're not even going to raise it.
Can you say that one more time?
They're not going to repeal it.
No, we can't hear you.
He just said basically Bonner's not bringing it to the house for a vote, so they're not going to repeal it. Okay, we're not even going to get a vote to repeal it.
Right. Or extend it.
Or modify it at this point. Right. So if the way it's written, it's going to start going into effect.
And we were hoping we were going to get some type of relief from this, or at least put it off for a while, but that kind of puts a different color to it. So.
I had a conversation with Senator Burr's office, this was just 3 days ago. Current flood insurance program is $25 billion in the red. He, being Senator Burr, wants to consider several proposals on the Bigger Waters Act, including delaying the current law for up to 40 years. I don't know, that's the latest information we've got.
Well, that delay does not include commercial structure. It doesn't include second homes either. Right. It includes primary homes.
Right, that's right.
That's wrong in itself. Mm-hmm.
This is the fact that we got hit with a 30 or 35% increase for this area of these zip codes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's the next one. Yeah. That's number three on the agenda, by the way.
We're looking into it and got some ideas.
So first on Bigger Waters, is there anything else the towns can do? We've all sent information in. Mm-hmm. I think all three towns have had resolutions or letters going to all of our elected officials in Washington. I know the state's done similar stuff, or at least I hope you guys have.
Coastal Caucus just sent a letter.
Coastal Caucus did, but what's the rest of the inland people help us? Because it's not just the coast that's impacted.
Right? Yeah,
they don't understand that yet.
They don't.
For
well,
some time, it's asking to do that.
I think the fact that this new homeowners increase can affect the big one, you're going to get some more interest. Because it's now affecting them. It's kind of touching on what I said earlier about education.
Hasn't several states, haven't they gotten together on the Bigger Waters Act? North Carolina has not joined that consortium yet, is it best I understand?
There's a lawsuit, I think,
Louisiana,
I think, filed, or somebody filed. I think the problem, one of the bigger problems, too, is if you delay this thing, your market, your real estate market, nobody's going to buy a property. They're going to wonder what's your insurance rate's going to be. And you're not going to sell anything. So, 4 years, you're going to be in limbo. Like I said, and if you do stall it, the proposal to stall it is that it doesn't affect commercial. We've got commercial districts totally in the floodplain.
Sure.
You guys do too. And second homes, we're full of second homes. And those folks, I mean, we've seen some huge increases or proposed increases in Wrightsville Beach. It's, from $2,000 to $30,000. I don't know how anybody can handle that.
They can.
It's going to kill us. As we've said, we
least the Republican side, and Susan, I don't know what the Democratic side is, but at least with the Republican side, I know that we are talking about possible ways to look at this thing and try to rectify the situation.
Well, the insurance commissioner is very engaged, who is a Democrat, is very engaged in this conversation as well. He's pushed back hard on the homeowner's insurance piece. But I would be quite interested in seeing North Carolina join in a lawsuit against the bill at the federal level, Bigger Waters, because it's killing us. I mean, it will just destroy values in our region and stifle the real estate market.
Well, last we heard from about the homeowners insurance rates, the new rate structure was not based on actual risk. There were not statistics that were used to determine the rate.
There never are.
The fact that our towns have protected dunes and suffer fewer losses in the event of wind and rain events has nothing whatsoever to do with the rate. And that's just wrong.
The wind and hail claims east of I-95 blow the wind and hail claims, the wind and hail claims west of I-95 are exponentially higher than the wind and hail claims east of I-95. Now, that may have to do with the fact that we effectively don't have coverage, so nobody makes a claim. But the point is that this will, that we submitted, it's representative time from the Outer Banks, I believe, ran a bill last session to try to force them to have to consider those things in a rate increase request, and the bill went nowhere. But we may have a little more traction now that this is going to affect other parts of the state.
So I think what Dave's asking is, as besides residents, as communities, what can we do to support you to get some federal changes? We're already contacting our elected officials.
Yes, they are.
Well,
we're doing that.
North Carolina Water Resource Congress is having a meeting in May 10th and 12th, and I have invited the Coastal Caucus members to attend. Made them aware of that. I'll send you an email. But it's March 10th and 12th. And I think it's a good time for us to go up there and talk, and the more legislators that we can get to
D.C.
D.C.
Right, that's the Water Resource Congress.
Sorry. From my perspective, on that insurance, I know that Raleigh and Durham are looking at a 25% increase this time.
We're talking about two insurance companies.
I hope that this doesn't become a negotiation tool to lower theirs. That's the only point.
We hope that too.
I know you're a lot of people, but I mean, I'm just not sure that's not a strategy as opposed to.
No. Actually, the feedback that we're getting from the rest of the members in other parts of the state, they share our concerns. It's a concern for their constituents also.
Yeah, there's a public hearing in May, right, for the state for the homeowners insurance.
We got 1,000 people.
And every single part of us needs to go onto a county register for a whole busload of people up there. We need to get people up there and have that public hearing. And Raleigh, that's the one in Raleigh for homeowners.
Yes. There are benefits in numbers, and I think this is a great start. But a lot of my neighbors were asking, why are we a year later plus, and everybody's like, the sky's falling about Bigger Waters. It kind of got us by surprise. And so the benefit of us all getting together, in my opinion, is to try and build on that so that we can join forces with Dare County and all our neighbors north and south of us so that we have a concerted, organized effort on a continual lobbying effort at both the state and federal level. I think that's something we need to focus. We've got base, we've got legal municipality, we've got all these entities that aren't orchestrating the efforts on looking out for our best interests. So I'm hoping that we can figure out a way that we've got one voice in Raleigh and D.C. looking out for our efforts. Historically, I don't think the coastal communities have had a strong presence. You may think for all y'all do, but I'm hearing you say that we've had a leading presence.
Well, and as a follow-up to that, the exclusion of secondary homes, absorbing those kind of rates for rental properties is going to push the rates up so high that I think one of the unintended consequences would come out of my tax plan, it has a negative impact.
Yeah.
So that's coming, apparently, that's coming, regardless of what goes on.
That's a painfully positive thing about that is if the district, if the rental rates go way up, the room tax rates will come up.
The other line, I think, to that dark cloud is that the cost of those rates won't be just borne by the coastal residents who have been so easy to slough off. It'll be people in Charlotte and Raleigh and all over the state who no longer can afford these beach homes that they bought that they may intend at some point in time to become their primary residences. And so many people do when they retire and move down here. I hope that that will engage more people than we've had because this really didn't sneak up on us. We've known that this was coming. We've heard that it was coming. We just haven't had anybody who would listen to the people who have been trying to stave it off along the way because it was looked at as, oh, that's just you, you know, you few thousand people down there at the beaches. They're easy to ignore.
And seriously, your comment, it will lower the number of people that rent. It'll have a negative impact on
the it'll push people to rent more in town and use that neighborhood. It'll make a difference.
Yeah. Well, the rates of increases are being discussed. The bottom line is you're going to have people walking away from their homes because they can't afford the insurance, not the mortgage. So you're going to end up devastating the market. In the end run, their people aren't paying, you're going to be able to pay the insurance anyway, so it's not going to help the fund.
The banks will eventually have to engage in this discussion. I mean, they won't be able to sell mortgages.
They're one of the most successful lobbies, so maybe that's...
You're totally correct, Sarah. They just, I mean, it's going to, that's the numbers are building, and that's a good thing.
Right.
A couple of things. One thing to touch on something you said, Sarah. Last session, I introduced a bill that got the flood insurance and went nowhere, but it was modeled towards flood insurance and working out a system where people could get credit and then take preventative measures to curb if damage if you did have a school. I want to get the ideas out there. What reason didn't go anywhere, of course, as you know, that's a federal program that we have no control of, but I wanted it out there to at least have the idea so if there's some way the states could become involved. We have at least something to fall back on. The other thing you might want to consider, and I've discussed this with some members of the House, sent something out this week. In looking at this, there are different ways that the legislature might be able to deal with the wind and hail and the homeowners, and that is, you know, right now we're under a rate bureau. Well, you can look at a free market system. Either phase out the rate bureau and put that free market system in and take its place, or give the consumer the choice between the present rate bureau or a free market system. Another thing you could look at is forming an advocacy group for consumers and put them under the appropriate department so they can work with the Secretary of Insurance and the Insurance Department to make sure that we have input from the consumer part of it. You might want to form a rate group, advisory group of people that are affected. You know, they have homes that are affected, so they can have some input about the different proposed raises and what the rates are. And lastly, you could actually look at getting rid of the insurance commissioner from being an elected position to being an appointed position. But that has a fly in the ointment, and that is a statutory constitutional office, so you have to have an amendment to get rid of that position. Well, also, you might be able to get a back door shit here in the front. There's a court of appeals case that says that the Secretary of Insurance has the power to set rates that's given to it by the legislature. So the legislature, the way I read that case, the legislature, John, you might check up on this in the name, but the legislature can have the ability to control what the Secretary of Insurance can do as far as setting rates, while still keeping the office. So you might be able to get something in that that we can't get as a proof.
Have an actuarial basis for setting these rates. Looking at actual losses.
So, I've got to go, I've got to try, but I, Ted, I have, since I got up to the Senate 3 years ago, been working on that issue, trying to figure out, put a bill in to try to put a citizens group in that would able to have some say, ability to sue, because we have no standing now to even be heard before the insurance commission. I came to the conclusion about 2 years ago that if we really care about insurance on the coast, we're going to have to get an insurance commissioner, Democrat or Republican, that lives on the coast. Because I will assure you, the people in the Lolly, Piedmont, Mountains and all, they will screw us every chance they get, and they do. And they will not listen. And we have tried. And the only way we're going to do it is for all of us to band together with everybody else along the coast, raise money and get an insurance commissioner from the east who understands our issues and will see to it that it's fair. And we're not talking about anything but fair.
That's right. Tom is 100% right.
Because when I look and see what our rates are and our claims compared to the claims inland, and you realize we get screwed. It's just plain and simple. That's all that happens. And there's no other way around it. The simplest, most effective way is to get our own insurance.
And to that end, the only reason you've seen Wayne Goodman, come out swinging at the rate bureau right now over this recent increase is because it affects the Piedmont and the Western part of the state.
That's the only
thing. Every time we've approached him when it's been our issue, he won't talk to us.
So that's the only way we deal with that, and that's what I will leave on. And I'm happy to help in all these ways, and you can count on me. And I'll talk to Senator Rabin, and I know he'll be with us also.
Thank you. Well, so kind of to wrap up, right, so keep us on track. For the insurance, there's two separate insurance issues. Again, I'll go back to what the towns need to do for our legislators. So first, let's start with bigger waters. Is there anything else the legislators would recommend to the towns for action on that one? First, that one.
Lisa or anybody else has any ideas about ways we can get together as a bigger group, I think, share them, so I'm sure we're all...
Is there one organization, Rick, that really has the potential to be a powerful entity that would have a presence in Molly and Indy too? That we can all rally behind and support?
That's a good question. NC Byway is a good one.
Is the Realtors Association?
Realtors Association is a good one. Yeah, I know they're very concerned about this. I got an email from them last night.
But I'm just like, I'm talking about any issues that might impact.
We talked about this as having a coastal coalition similar to what they have. I mean, we do need to have a coastal county coalition of local elected officials.
I mean, not just us, but all the way up to there. I mean, we could even include South Carolina. I mean, the bigger the better.
Well, the North Carolina,
the insurance industry has a powerful lobbying effort for feeling the effects of that. And so anything, the bankers, same thing, and that's why we are where we are.
I don't think the bankers have gotten involved in this. No.
Does the League of Municipalities or the County Commissioners Association that have any credibility
at
the legislature? I can really hear us
doing
a lot
right now. They represent the whole state. So this is not on the top of their list.
But Lisa, maybe we could get with Ted and get a list of the coastal caucus members and start with those municipalities and those counties from a local elected official. I know Tim worked on this a couple of years ago. They had a couple meetings of managers of the coastal counties. We can do something to mirror what the state legislators have, at least pull those people in and allow all the way down to the state lines, all the way up to the state lines.
Well, surely South Carolina, Virginia, Florida have some sort of comparable.
Steve, one thing to touch on what you just said, I know the League of Municipalities get together with the list and just like Association of County Commissioners get together with the legislature. So if you could get municipalities to get that whole, remember, because you're dealing with the whole state, so don't have this problem getting that.
Our experience with the league has been the same as yours with the state legislators. Mm-hmm. When the members from the Piedmont and the mountains come in, we get kind of out of that. I think we're going to be better off if we focus on our network of individuals along the coast that have specific coastal issues. Because we've got insurance issues, we've got local insurance issues, we've got acres water issues on the flood, and then we have all the beach nourishment issues, the inlet issues, and we have some other coastal issues that are unique.
What I'm trying to say is that you could get those entities behind you and make those legislative goals, and that would give you their lobbying effort toward the legislative goal. Once again, you'd have to get, you know, that organization to get support of all the numbers.
Sarah brought up one thing that I share with this. We spend our own money, a lot, most of our own money, on our storm protection purpose. Over that, we have the lowest insurance claims anybody in the state has heard of. So even though it hits us directly, we get more recognition. So that's something that we need to tell people in the Congress. Perhaps there would be an opportunity for some kind of a amendment that would allow some recognition of self-protection. That's important.
Necessarily how protected those dunes really are. Those dunes keep us from a lot of trouble.
Our FEMA claims are almost done.
Right.
The few that we have are downtown.
Yeah. And I don't know where the statistics are on that. They're obviously out there somewhere. We're keeping those dunes in place, which is, again, why the sand money is so important.
There are some
right.
So is there maybe a representative from each beach that would be willing to work on identifying a caucus?
On the coalition?
There, we'll get out there later. We'll get someone to you. It may be.
Okay. Based on this article, we're in serious trouble. Serious trouble.
No help.
We may be the only place in the state that's in a depression.
So after carrying the state for how many years?
Well, let's move on to the bright spot of the Carolina Beach Inlet.
Well, before we get there, so is the action for the member from each person for bigger waters or really for homeowners insurance rate or both?
I think what Lisa was looking for was a member from each council to get together and figure out a coastal coalition. Some
for the homeowners rate issue?
For a general advocacy.
Okay.
Which they can start with.
Yes.
Thanks.
Who
they can start with that.
Who was going to be your representative?
Blair.
Second buddy.
Sarah's volunteering. I'll probably be
the same. Volunteer for us.
Better. Heard to have two people.
That's right. Rick and Ted, for the homeowner's insurance rate, other than the March 10th meeting, which I don't think was for that issue, when or what is actions we can help you guys with? I mean, right now the insurance commissioner has it in his hands, but I think the legislature hopefully is pressuring him on this issue. 35% is pretty insane. I agree with Sarah that the statistics don't bear that out. So what can we do to help? What can we tell our citizens to do to help?
Well, we need to reach out to all statewide. Do you know somebody that owns a home in one of our beach communities or in Wilmington, then reach out to them. If you've got that list, do that.
We do have that list for Curie. I think Riceville, Carolina has it too.
We called out all of our absentee owners and separated them by local, state, and out of state.
It's important to talk to them.
You know what we need to find what elected officials from around the state have beach properties. Who might represent a district in Charlotte has a house in Riceville, for instance. We need to hit them too.
We have Carolina Beach's absentee ownership.
Yeah, we have.
We've done some strategic marketing on bigger waters on that and some other issues. But
so we should probably do it on this one as well. Contact your representative and tell him that the state insurance is unfair.
Yeah.
and communicate to the commissioner.
The homeowners.
I know we keep talking about resolutions, but resolutions can be a very powerful thing. Because you have documentation that this is what people want. You've already talked about getting a resolution on the issue we talked about before. I'd say the same thing on this. A separate resolution with supporting documentation. If nothing else, I can forward that to the other members of the House. And that way, at least we can bring some of that to the forefront so they can acknowledge.
Look, Tim's volunteering.
We do have a resolution on the Homeowners Association on our agenda for the 23rd, which I'll be glad to share with you guys. But the public comment portion of this thing for the Homeowners Association, Homeowners Insurance is up January 31st. So I have an email number, or email for whoever needs to send it to me in a letter. So all that, the public needs to do that in general. I mean, if you oppose 35%, you need to send it to the DOI, the Department of Insurance. And I've, like I said, there's an email and a mailing list that I have.
I think it'd be helpful, too, if each of the municipals maybe provide a half a dozen case studies of residents of how one cheap punch is going to impact them financially from bigger orders and the refund.
I have a suggestion as you send out information. A 35% increase here and a 35% increase in Mecklenburg County, there's a lot of difference because we're already paying a whole lot more. So if you could turn it into dollars, I think that would show the picture of what we're fighting.
Spencer from Seagrass.
His presentation was awesome.
Right, he's got some very specific dollar
amount. It's six residents on your beach that are
Spencer,
Rogers.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, he's good. He's got the information on the...
He's got the slides.
With the dollars. Right. This is very serious. It makes $50,000 a year, and this is what she's going to be.
I have one more comment for Mayor Pelton. Yes, we have something called daylight savings time that changes from time to time. That clock on your wall.
I said we went up to New Bern on Friday with this invited by it was an interesting meet. Obviously, as a panel, we're pleased to see that the state has come up with a funding source to share half of that, and we're going to be dealing with the other half of it. Steve is our Forest Waterway and Beach Commission. He's been representing and heavily involved in that, so probably just defer to Steve on any other comments. But
the inlet, as I told you, we're doing an economic study, which will be available in March to each municipality, the county, and the city of Wilmington, to help support an amount that we ask for, at least the Ports and Waterway recommended that each municipality contribute this year to keep the inlet open. Rough numbers, we asked the county to come up with a funding mechanism for an annual cost of $600,000, of which the county and municipalities would have to cover $300,000. Half will come from the state. The other half needs to be raised locally. We're hoping that the county will do all of it. In the past, they've done 75%. So we kind of looked at some numbers. The real bugaboo was the last time Kiri Beach had a pretty hefty share, given the size of the municipality and the budget, and Wilmington was woefully low. So in our opinion, Wilmington didn't think so, of course, but we had that spirited discussion.
It's more spirited.
We came back with some numbers that were for Wrightsville, in keeping with the last contribution that was made one time a couple years ago. We were able to agree, of course, in one way to get Kiri Beach similar to Wrightsville Beach in a lower number, and Carolina Beach kept our number up there, and then we asked Wilmington for about half of what Carolina Beach is putting in there. Those numbers are all out there. I think it was 5, 5, 13 from Wilmington, 26 from Carolina Beach, and the balance from the county. The downside is we did go to New Bern last week. The Corps said they're going to come up with the annual budget for all five of the inlets. They're going to tell us what the schedule is to dredge those inlets. And we got an email the other day from Lake Bledsoe that said, Corps come out with those dollar amounts And as soon as they publish them, they're going to want to know that we have a commitment for our half the dollars. What Dan was referring to is the mechanism the state came up with to collect revenue for their half is off of voter fees and some other fees that they've collected. And it's a roughly calculated at $4 or $5 million a year, but limited to the inlets is $2 million contribution from the state. So their $2 million plus local matches of $2 million gives us $4 million for the five inlets, which used to spend about $1 million each. So you can do the math that, you know, there's not going to be $1 million per inlet. Carolina Beach Inlet's been about $450 on emergency dredges, which is maybe twice a year, two sets of 14 days. We have a little bit of sandy money left that the county got from the storm, so they're going to be able to do one here in February, or we ask them to push it off in March. But my guess is somewhere in July, we're going to be looking to have to make a contribution to the state before we get the inlet dredge again in the summer. And the state's, the Corps is telling us now, if you don't show us your cards now, you're not going to be on the list to get the money. So, Ports and Waterway came up with a placeholder. We know everyone's in the budget cycle starting, and we're asking you to look at that and see if you can put it in your budget for next year as a commitment. And we're hoping that Ted and Rick, as former county commissioners, can express to Mr. Coudray and the other elected officials the importance of that.
Well, it is important because you're competing.
And we really need to get out of the emergency dredging cycle and get into a managed dredging cycle. And the Corps is telling us, I think, $600 or $650 a year would get us in that major cycle. Of course, we need to spend more than that. I don't know what the specifics, whether that gets us to a full profile eventually or in the beginning, but the emergency is...
I think the analogy he used is if you mow your yard every month, it doesn't take as long. But if you just wait until you absolutely have to do it, you're getting a penalty, you know, because it's waist high. It's a lot tougher. So if you just do your maintenance, it'll be less over the long run.
He tells Steve lives at the beach because he thinks he only has to mow grass once
a month. Steve, at the meeting up in Newport, did they say anything about Oregon Inlet?
Yep. They said Oregon Inlet is currently doing economic impact analysis themselves to show what it keep that open. It's a $10 million a year deal. But the Department of Water Resources, the Division of Water Resources said, you ask, we'll have the money. The state will have its contribution if you show up at the table.
There's a lot of competition out there.
Yeah. We're ahead of the other four inlets. We're not ahead of Oregon.
I know, Senator Brown was the lead on introducing setting up that fund. Interesting enough, it increased part of the gasoline tax.
That's correct.
I remember discussing it. I thought it was a very out-of-the-box novel idea. People go to the gas station and pump gas in their boats to use on the waterways and stuff. So,
well, we had a spirited discussion.
We use some of that as far as funding. But where I'm coming at, I tried to get 25% from Merkel, 75% from the state. I remember Senator Brown said, Davis, if you can get everybody to agree, I won't object to, well, I have a brick wall. And I think I basically told you lucky to get 50%. But I think a lot of that came from the unknown factor of what we're talking about. And it's, I think looking in the future, if you want to try to get more state help, you know, we got to have some benchmarks, not the right word. We got to have to say, all right, this is what it's going to cost. You know, this is what we're going to get. It ain't enough to cover. So do we let it all fall in and then you get into the impact statewide, what you get from income taxes, sales taxes, whatever, because of that inlet to try to get them to get more money. I think there's a scare factor of not knowing, because everybody knows it's expensive, but you know, they're not going to go in and give you a blank check. So hopefully down the road, you know, we get some track record here or get some documentation up here. I'd love to try to move forward with a 75%. It's just a long shot right now.
Where do the sales taxes from the marine and gas fuel sales go? Does that go into
GFE? I'll be honest with you, I don't know the answer. I know it was not a problem using part of the gas tax for this.
And I think that was, Lisa, that was their justification, because that marina goes into that sales tax fee. I mean, I will tell you, the county has come back and said that they're looking at some opportunities to cover the full $300,000. Whether they get there or not, we're not sure. Because the other discussion was doing it based on a boat tax. And I think everyone on Ports and Waterway felt it was unfair to put all the burden on boat owners, because there is a multiplier effect. When people use the inlet, they come and stay in your hotel, they eat in your restaurant, they buy fish at your fish house, they buy gas, they do other things. And it's not just guys that own a boat that go out the inlet. So, and plus, part of the state revenue is coming out of boat. So,
well, I'll tell you, originally it was going to be harbor. And boy, you should have seen the resistance from the boat owners.
Well, and that's why they had to go to the state. Anyway, we did, that's what Ports and Waterway and Daryl, I think, will probably explain that to the Wrightsville folks. It wasn't. And we try to be fair. We appreciate the contribution if that comes. The county appreciates it.
Let me bring something up, because we're talking about a temporary solution for inlet maintenance. Because the side cast dredging is not very efficient. Sometimes it doesn't work at all. I mean, a storm would come along, and I think you spent half a million dollars on it. So, the county commissioners, when Ted and I were on there, we approved moving the permit, transferring the permit for Beach Redemption from Carolina Beach to the state, and basically giving the county the ability to move forward with that. But we had to do that without changing the way the Corps of Engineers does it, which means we couldn't take our reverse of the sand from the inlet. The long-term approach, and this is where you need to work with Layton and the three beach communities need to work together with the county commissioners, is to go ahead and modify that permit long-term to where you can use the inlet dredging for beach renourishment, and you can make it deep enough to where it'll last for a long time.
And we did get the Carolina Beach permit for beach nourishment is now held by the county. So if the feds
don't fund it. That's the way the court is.
Right. On the beach nourishment. Okay. We're in the same process for all five shallow draft inlets throughout the state have applied together for their permits to be transferred to their individual counties or to have a mirror permit. So that if the court quits doing the project, the counties have the ability. It's been recommended by Layton and others, the first step is to get that permit in hand. Then go back and modify it to allow casting the sand and...
Well, we have 5 years to do that because...
Right. Right.
For the next 5 years, we're going to be struggling to barely keep the inlet open and struggling to find a local match money. And if we don't have...
That's what we're looking for, corporate sponsors. Like, we think Catlin Engineering... They we're up there with the TPD, we're going down, everyone goes there. So, you mentioned that you're terrible.
Now, we hired a contractor, a consultant, to work with the beach towns to transfer the permits through the state for beach
commercial. I mean, as well as maybe I misunderstood. I thought you said something about changing the way the money that's part of the people kind of beach.
No, this is just to give us the permit. And that way, then we got to find the money to do it. But once you dredge Carolina Beach Inlet to its full depth, which you might be able to get to 12 feet there, then it'll last a long time and the maintenance will be able to do it.
Because as you know, that's probably going to have any funding for this new legislation in the dredging, because that Mason's Inlet fund was a beach commercial deposit that could not be used for.
So just kind of we understand the action items there. So I think Carolina Beach has got the lead, but you're going to communicate to Wrightsville and Curie when you need dedicated funds so you can say you've got...
Actually, it's going to come from the county, because it's a county process. What we did is give something that the management can at least have to put in their budget to see if it's workable in your budget.
Right.
So,
but it's not like you need it before the budget actually gets approved in June, do you?
Yeah.
If you do, we need that. Okay. Just like before, what's the timeline so we can work to it? Same with Wrightsville.
I'll have our manager get with Layton and come back.
Yes.
I suspect even the email that went out and some of you guys got it from Layton saying, we want to know.
Is it the same breakup of funding as when I was on the Ports and Waterways meeting?
We flipped Wilmington and Curie. Okay, everyone else remained the same. We flipped Wilmington and Curie and asked Wilmington to pay $13,000 instead of $5,000.
And Curie to pay $5,000.
Other than that, it was the same. And at least that was a proposal that came from Ports and Waterway. That, of course, is subject to individual municipality. And the county has promised us that they are looking at 100% revenue fix, but they're not there yet either. They're not going to do anything until they do a new budget. So.
Right. Well, so, one, I appreciate y'all flipping us, right? And I appreciate Emily for highlighting that on our council, that if you look at it for a person, you know,
Greg
the Civic Security will be...
Bucks.
Huh?
Greg tried to get $840.
Well, and I appreciate Greg. That's a good job. That's how he should do, right? So, I mean...
We buy you a battery.
So, I mean, well, we cut that out so we can give you money for the Emily, right? So, you know, and you saw it downtown, right? So we're doing everything we can. But I think, you know, it's pretty... We definitely want to support it. I think there's a lot of strong support in the town.
We'll come back with a hard letter to you guys in the next week or two that you guys can address in your next meeting that says we can or can't.
Right. I think that's what I'm looking for. Because I don't want Cure Beach to be the holdup for you guys, right?
I'm suspecting it will not be Cure Beach.
There you go. Well, and if we should lobby Wilmington, I think the point is the other secondary action item that the town should know is we should be reaching out to Wilmington Town Council and talking to them.
You do need to, yes.
So, I mean, Riceville Beach and Curie Beach and Carolina Beach should reach out to Wilmington Town Council and say, look, this is a big issue. It's not that much money in Wilmington's budget, but we
that's
need your
right.
support, right? Well, but they still, if they hear from us, that's a lot better, right?
It is. I agree with
that. But you need the county, too, because remember, they're, like in District 19, these areas on the border, they're in the county, not
Right. Well, the county commissioners, I think, maybe...
We're waiting to hear back from the county on what which direction they think they're going in and what amount before we really know what the municipalities are going to do.
I mean, if the mayors can kind of reach out to those two organizations and figure out what you need us to do, I think the councils are all willing to do something, but we just need some guidance. What do you need?
And we're looking for, I believe the way Ports and Waterway left it was we're looking for a one-year solution
right.
so that we can come back for a five-year plan. But we didn't feel, we'd like to show some economic impact.
Yeah.
We can get a five-year commitment before we can get Wilmington to pay more or the county to pay 100%. My guess is long-term, Riceville and Curie are probably not going to see a request for more than what you guys are asking.
See, we want
to
help.
That's our job to try.
Yeah, we want to help you, right? Just tell us to help.
I got it.
Last one.
The
last
one.
Coordinator representation at the state and federal level. Who's going to have it
anymore?
More coffee. Is anything else come before this meeting?
Next meeting.
And who's going to have it? Carolyn Beach.
It was our turn this time, Dean.
It's because downtown looks so good, so y'all were out
there. I want to show you we're burying a power line. Stick it, twist it a little bit.
So, is it quarterly? Is that what we agreed to?
That's what we aim for.
When would the next one be? We would like to host the next one because our hostess of our next one might not be here for the fall.
As all the elected officials know, I wrote a letter to each one of y'all a while back asking to meet with each other. Because I think it's so important for us to meet eyeball to eyeball and talk about issues. And I really commend Dean and Dan on how much he had been through before being elected. And Bill, same with you, but having everybody together, I think it's fantastic. Because we can all listen to our mutual concerns and helps Rick and Susie and I and Tom and the Senate to know what it is that y'all want us to do. And like we did today, I mean, you feel me, need some definite marching orders if you want to join it. Concerning our district and you know, give me those resolutions, give me that documentation, and we'll move forward. I know we got Rick and Susie that support, and we got Tom and Senate. So I commend you all doing this and also doing it together.
One thing, can we ask for the representative? If you guys get pushback, so you know the news is out here, right? So the top item on there, if you get pushback from the hotel lobbyist or anybody else, could you just give us feedback on that? Because if you're getting it from the hoteliers in Raleigh, we want our hoteliers to reach out to where the lobbyists are and counter that, right? So if we get a local bill and it gets up there, we want our guys involved pushing on the other side, right? I know it's a small group, but still, if all the hotel owners on the coast are saying, look, you should give these three beach towns flexibility with this, maybe it'll be heard in their lobbies, maybe it won't. But we want you guys to hear that from them directly if we need to motivate them.
Well, to touch on that, Dave, even if it is a local bill, you still have to be convinced.
Oh, no, I understand. So I understand.
What I'm saying is we can notify you of when those particular community meetings are going to be and have you offer the opportunity that you want to speak, whoever's on that committee locally, or if not, we can get in touch with somebody to allow the committee chairman to let you speak. And that we could have direct input and have the legislative members that are on that committee to actually hear the appointment. I think that would be important as well.
Yes, please.
And I will tag on to that and tell you that we have a small group between Carolina and Curry Beach of hotel owners and vacation rental property owners or vacation rental people who have gotten together already and talked about this issue. So if you do have any pushback, let me know and I'll pull them together.
Mm-hmm. Just give me that stuff as soon as you know.
Also, you know, I think from a DDA perspective, the other folks involved, we're talking about maybe we need to be looking at all of them with some flexibility with those funds. There's also some assurances that won't all be used for sand. You know, there's some trigger in there that everybody can feel relatively comfortable with. We're still going to get our advertisement, but we're still going to have some flexibility on the sand side. And whether that's a third, or third, or third, or however it makes up, I can see that being a concern of some people.
Or it'd be helpful to get a resolution from our chambers as well, so that there is some consensus with our chamber comment.
Well, look at the numbers. Look at the projections on our road tax before you say you don't want to spend it all on sand.
Well, that's a discussion I think we need to have to figure it out.
Well, I think we need to have the flexibility. If there is truly an emergency and there are no FEMA dollars coming or there's whatever and we need to cover it, I think we need to be able to have the flexibility without waiting 4, 5, 6 months to get a local bill passed or whatever we need to do. We can get that flexibility written in, even if it's only under certain conditions that we would have the ability to spend it all on sand if we had to. I would like to see that in there because, as Steve said, there's no point in hamstringing ourselves. But, you know, why go from one situation where we feel like our hands are tied to another situation where our hands are tied?
Sarah, one thing too, to touch on this. Remember, the short session starts in May, and the speaker probably will want to get through in 4 weeks.
We're going to make it a very simple, clean,
remember when the session
right. Session we'll get it circulated to you guys before we ask them for it.
So we have to wait for the May session starts.
We're going to run it by all the stakeholders.
I think, Carol, I think we're saying that this is going to be our only fund for Sam. Right. We just want an option to that because we definitely still going to continue to advertise.
What I'm trying to say is, just because you decide something doesn't mean a bill can be done because it can only be done in the session. If you limit it on the short session, you've got to wait all the way to the public session.
Right. And we need it right the first time. We need it right out of the gate, get it done, and get
it in time. Anybody got anything else? And y'all are going to get with us for the next breakfast meeting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming back. Thank you. I know y'all been on work, so thanks.